All right. Well, today we are starting a brand new series, obviously called God of the Promise. And I have to tell you, I'm really excited about the series, and at the same time, I'm nervous, okay? I'm excited, and you understand that, but at the same time, I'm nervous. And you're like, why are you nervous? I'm not nervous because of you, right? I'm nervous because this is a story that we want to get right, number one. It's one of those things that we always pray hard as I prepare, that these stories are life-giving, right? What God writes in His Word is life-giving. But it's also something that, like, I want to do my best job to communicate what God wants to say to us. But the bigger thing is because it comes out of something that God has been teaching me in this season. And maybe you can relate to this, because the reason I say I'm nervous is because when God is teaching you something in a season, sometimes it's so fresh that you haven't mined the depths of all of it yet. You know, sometimes it's this thing where you're still wrestling, you're still discovering all the depths of what it is, and sometimes you don't even have the vocabulary yet to vocalize all that God is teaching you, if that makes sense. But what I want to do is I want to take us on a journey in this series, if you're willing to go with me. I want to take us on a journey over these next 4 weeks, and I really pray and I believe will help you to experience the promises of God, the faithfulness of God, like never before. And so I also want to help somebody today. I want to help somebody today in here, especially, who is maybe close to stopping short of what God has promised for you. I want to help somebody in here who is close to stopping short of what God has promised to you. Maybe it's a calling that God has placed on you. Maybe there's a dream that God has given for you or for your family or for something around you. Or maybe there's this nudge of the Holy Spirit that's saying, I want to use you. You can do it with my power, right? But maybe you're tempted to stop short. And see, when we talk about the promises of God, it's a whole lot of stuff. The promises of God, there's so many promises of God in Scripture. Here's some examples of that. God says, like, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Man, that's good news when you're in the valley, right? God says, or the Scripture says, that my God will supply all your needs, not just some, will supply all of your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. That's a good promise. Here's another one, that neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Whew, that's a promise. So there's so many promises, but here's the thing. Sometimes what's immediately in front of us makes it cloudy or difficult to see what God promised to us. Sometimes it's hard to see how, and it's hard to see if the promise is actually going to come to fruition. And it's one of those things, like, you know, when somebody says, I promise. Now, what they're saying is, on my word and who I am, I'm telling you it's going to happen with everything in my power. Now, people tell us stuff all the time. My kids will say, I promise. I'm like, don't promise, because you're about to break it. I know, right? Just don't even say it, because you're not going to be able to fulfill it, because it's usually when you've done something wrong, and I promise, right? I promise I'll never do that again. Well, we'll be back here. That's okay. And, you know, thankfully, I am a father of grace, like my Heavenly Father, some of the time, right? But anyway, I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. In moments that are kind of uncertain, or where what God has called you to seems a little bit cloudy, you can either trust in what you see in front of you, or you can decide to trust in the promises of God. You know, you can either trust in what you see in front of you from your perspective, or you can choose to walk forward knowing that God will fulfill His promise to you. And I want you to know, and I want you to see in this series, that if God promises something to you, it's different than your kids. When God promises something to you, you can take it home with you, right? When God promises something to you, it's something that He's going to make a way to fulfill. He always fulfills His promises. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you were desperate for another reminder of God's promise? You know, like, God, I know that this is your promise, but you were desperate for just another reminder that the promise was still there. Or maybe you were going through something and you just needed just a little bit of proof that God was moving things forward. Can you relate to that? Here's the thing. Those times of desperation, We don't like to use the word desperation in our lives very much because we don't like to feel desperate, right? Especially in dating, you know? But those times of desperation don't usually come when it's sunny and clear skies all around you, you know? Those times of desperation, it usually happens when things are difficult, when things are cloudy, when the visibility is low, and you can't see in front of you what God has called you to. And so a lot of times we think that desperation is bad. Like we avoid places where we are desperate for anything, especially for God. But I believe, I think it's one of those things, we would rather, read a self-help book and learn how to fix it. You know, we would rather just trust in ourselves so we don't have to trust in anybody else, you know? I know we can all understand that, right? But it's one of those things, I really believe that desperation is sometimes the best place you can be in. Because it's in those moments of desperation when you have to reach out for something, for God, who is beyond yourself, that you realize who God really is. And you learn that God is faithful to fulfill what he promises. And so, in this series, God of the Promise, we're going to walk through one of the greatest stories of God taking people on a journey to fulfill a promise that was in the Bible. And we're going to end up in the story of the Exodus here in a little bit. But before we get there, you got to know that the promise actually started generations before when God spoke to a man named Abraham. His name was Abram, and then God changed his name to Abraham. And it was in Genesis chapter 12. You don't have to turn there. Let me just summarize it for you. Because God called Abraham, and he said to him, in chapter 12, chapter 17, 18, and beyond, he says, look, Abraham, I'm going to give you descendants as numerous as the stars. In fact, he took him out to this field, and it was dark at night. And he basically says, in the middle of this barren land, he said, look at the stars and count them if you can. So will your descendants be. It was like crusted diamonds in the sky. And he's looking around, and here's the thing. That's an incredible promise. And God said, look, Abraham, I'm going to make your family, your future family, into a great nation. I'm going to form them into a great nation. And I'm promising to give people a land, your people, a land that they will call their own someday. I'm promising that not only will you be blessed, but you'll be a blessing. And that through you and through your family, all the nations of the earth will be blessed through them. I mean, that's a promise, man. It kind of reminds me of like a great worship song, you know? Like you're going through something and you don't see how it's going to happen, but you start worshiping God and you start trusting in that promise and you're able to start seeing what God can see from his perspective. And so that's the promise, but here's the problem. God promised that to a couple who was well advanced in their years and unable to have kids. Biologically, it was impossible. And so it's like, okay, God, this is that moment for Abraham that maybe you can relate to. What God's calling us to doesn't match my reality. It's like, okay, God, are you sure that your promise is for me, first of all, right? Are you sure that your promise is going to match up with my reality? Because I physically don't see how this is going to happen, right? And maybe you've wondered that before, like, God, will your promise match up to my reality? Here's the thing, in that moment, it looked impossible for Abraham and for God to actually build a great nation out of his family because he couldn't have a family. But God was faithful, and God overcame the biological clock for Abraham and Sarah and allowed them to conceive, to have a child of their own, Isaac, who became the child of promise. Now, here's the thing, when God promises something to you, although you might not see if, and although you might not see how in that moment, God always finds a way. He always finds a way. In fact, I want you to check out, let's look at the New Testament. Here's a promise from the New Testament that we can lay over this scripture. It's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. The author of Hebrews in the New Testament says this, you need to persevere. You need to persevere, which means keep going, keep grinding. You need to persevere. So that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. You'll receive what he has promised. Now, here's the thing. Today, we're going to flash forward to the book of Exodus and the story of the Exodus. Because the people of God, when you turn to the book of Exodus, they found themselves again in a place between God's promises and their reality. between God's promises and their reality, and maybe you can relate to that. I remember God had just promised all the way back to Abraham that I'm going to make your family into a great nation someday. I'm going to bring them, my people, into a land that I promised to give them. But the problem was, in the book of Exodus, God's people had been stuck in slavery for 400 years. Well, God, what happened to your promise? 400 years we've been in slavery. What happened to your promise? I mean, they were living in this foreign land instead of the land God promised to give them. God, where are you? I mean, they were enslaved by another nation instead of becoming the great nation that God said, I'm going to build you into. God, where are you? And so I imagine for 400 years, just imagine this. They probably sat around campfires and heard stories from their grandparents telling them about a promise that was given all the way back to Abraham, that God's going to lead us into a land, and God is going to make us into a nation someday. You just trust God. You just trust God. And that sounded really good. But it's one of those things, as time went on, just like what happens in our delays, they probably wondered, God, did you forget about us? Like, God, did you forget about your promise that you gave us? Or do you just not care? You know, like, this has been a long time. 400 years is a long, long time. How long do we have to wait, God? And so, because if God's promise is true, I just don't see it. And so all that changed. All that changed when God spoke a word and God had an encounter with a man named Moses. And it's this famous scene from a burning bush. And we're going to read about it, Exodus chapter 3. Remember, 400 years of waiting, and all of a sudden God shows up with a word from a burning bush. Here's what it says, Exodus 3, starting verse 4. It says, when the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, basically he went over to look at the burning bush that was burning but not being consumed, that's kind of weird, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. It wasn't holy because the ground was holy. It was holy because God's presence was there. Anytime God shows up in a place, it becomes a holy place. Anytime God is there, we could be in a cafeteria room, hello, and if God is there, this becomes a holy ground, right? And it says, then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. It says, then the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. God says, I care. Even when you didn't think I was moving, I care. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land, right? I'm going to be rescued from that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Oh my, right? Here's what it says next. It says, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, God says, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, he says to Moses. So now go. I am sending somebody else. Nope. He says, I'm sending you. I know you're freaked out in this moment, Moses, and I know that I'm communicating to you a promise that was more than 400 years old. But Moses, now's the time. I'm sending you. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So what is God saying? Moses was freaking out, right? Let's just stop here. Moses is freaking out. And he's freaking out not because the pyrotechnic show was happening in the burning bush that moment, right? I mean, that would have been cool. Like, I would love to see this burning bush and God is speaking through the fire. Or maybe I wouldn't, right? Maybe that was as terrifying as it was for Moses. Because when Moses sees it, he's drawn to the bush. He hears God's voice. He's drawn to God's voice. But when Moses realizes who he's talking with, what does he do? He hits the deck, right? He hits the deck because he realized, wow, this is the same God who promised to our ancestors, to Abraham. This is the same God who worked in the lives of Isaac and in the lives of Jacob, and here he is speaking with me. It's this moment of like, God, I'm not worthy. There was probably something about that holy place that made him realize God is so much otherly than I am. And who am I? Who am I? And so it's one of those things where the message that God, though, speaks to Moses is very different than, hey, Moses, I'm still here. I'm still working. What does he say? Basically, the message from God is this: Moses, I came here to tell you today that the promise still stands. The promise still stands. Yeah, I know you've been waiting for 400 years before you were even born, but the promise still stands. I realize that you've been waiting, but the promise still stands. Like, I know that you've probably been doubting if I'm even working because you can't see the results, but the promise still stands. Like, Moses, I know that the situation looks impossible. You're in slavery, but I want you to know that the promise still stands. I believe that God might want to speak a word to you today over your situation. Maybe God is saying the same thing to you. The promise still stands. Now, I imagine Moses was like a lot of us. You know, these are just normal people. We idolize them because God worked in their life, but God's working in our life. But I imagine he was a lot like us. I imagine Moses was probably thinking of all the excuses and all the reasons that God couldn't move in his situation and in his life, right? I mean, we do this all the time, but God, and we start naming all of our excuses and all the reasons God can't do it. Like, for instance, Moses was probably thinking, but God, it's been 400 years. It's been a lot of waiting. We haven't seen any forward motion. But God, we're trapped here in slavery in Egypt, and you know their leader. The Pharaoh is the meanest dude in the land, and his army is really big, and you're calling me to do something, and I don't see how it's going to happen. He started coming with all these excuses. I don't see how it's possible, God, from my perspective. All these excuses. But God says to Moses, I'm telling you, although you can't see it, the promise still stands. Let me ask you this. What do you do when what you see looks nothing like what God said? What do you do when what you see looks nothing like God said? You know, it's like when reality doesn't match up with what God promised. Here's the thing. Sometimes what I think I tend to do, and maybe you do too, is when God promises something, sometimes, you know, we tend to think that it's our job to work out all the plans and all the details. Well, if God's going to do it, I got to start making this happen, right? And there's something to that. We got to walk with God in forward into his promises. But sometimes we think it's our job to come up with all the details and to make it move. The truth is, you don't always see the details when God is working under the surface. So when your reality doesn't match up with what God promised, what do? You know, the good news is God can see beyond your situation, right? God can see past what you can see in the moment. And when you might feel like you're stuck with nothing but walls and obstacles in front of what God has promised to you, God can actually see from a higher perspective. How many of you have ever been to a corn maze before? You ever been to a corn maze? Man, they're fun. This is like you get your Georgia badge, you know, when you go through a corn maze. If you're not from Georgia, this is where you know that you've arrived, right? We won't talk about Georgia a whole lot because my team got beat last night. But we gave a good fight. The battle belongs to the Lord, right? But anyway, God doesn't care whose team, I don't think. But I'm just saying anyway. But it's one of those things where. Yeah, thank you for that. In a corn maze, I take my family about once a year to a corn maze. We go to the one up in Dawsonville a lot. It's a lot of fun. We used to go to the one out in Loganville that had all that crazy stuff, and they shut it down. Had a lot of cool games. We've been to the one in Athens. We go all over to a corn maze about every fall. And one thing that I've noticed is that when you're down in the corn maze, you can't always see in front of you the whole picture. In fact, here's a picture of what it kind of looks like when you're going through a corn maze, right? Wear your dirty shoes that day. You're going through the corn maze, and from your vantage point, you can kind of feel stuck. You can kind of walk around and feel real confident for a while. And I always, maybe I'm the one, right? But if you're walking through a corn maze with somebody, there's always somebody really confident. Here's the way, right? I know the way, and then you find yourself looking at a bunch of corn, right? And it's one of those things when you're going through moments and you're going through seasons in a corn maze, it's like, I can't see in front of me. I don't know what's in front of me, and it's easy to feel lost, and it's easy to kind of get discouraged. Like, why do we do this? Like, this is entertainment. We paid them to get us lost in a corn maze, you know? But thankfully, when you go to a corn maze, a legit one, they will usually provide you a map. They'll give you a map, and the map is usually a picture that was taken. Somebody took a picture from a higher vantage point, and you're able to look at the map from a higher vantage point from what you can see in the moment, right? And you're like, oh, of course, we just take a left here and a right here, and here's what we do. And so I tell you that because in order for you to move forward, you have to trust not in what you can see in front of you, but you trust the picture that was provided from somebody who took it from a higher vantage point. So what am I saying? When God leads us, we can't always see the whole picture. Like when God leads us, you can't see the whole picture of how things are going to go. Only God sees that. And see, I want to know that if God says move, if God says turn left, turn right, go forward, go back, right? It sounds like a dance party we're having here. Let's have this moment for a minute. But I want to know if God says turn left that it's going to work out. Like I want to be able to look at the whole map. Like, okay, God, if we take this turn and I follow you, like I want to know what the plan is. But it doesn't work like that. We don't always get to see. We don't see all the ways that God is actually working in our situation that we took that left, that maybe we didn't expect how God is actually taking us somewhere that we never thought we would be. So here's the thing. As the Apostle Paul, here's what the Apostle Paul said about that in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Here's what he said. This is in the New Testament. He says, and we know that in some things, what does it say? And we know that in what? All things. Yeah, but maybe he's just talking about when things are easy, right? Or maybe when we have enough money to do something. Or maybe when, like, you know, we got all the leadership under us in our job, and, you know, that one person has been fired because they're annoying anyway, right? We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so maybe you've been waiting for something. Maybe you've been dreaming. God's given you a dream for something. Maybe you've been praying for something. And I think this is a reminder that God's delay, I've said this before, God's delay doesn't mean God's denial. God's delay doesn't mean God's denial. In fact, sometimes God is cooking something up, right? That's going to be way better than the instant microwave popcorn that you wanted it to be, right? That God is sometimes cooking up a Thanksgiving dinner that is prepared for you in your situation, right? And so here's the thing. I came to share with somebody today who's tempted to stop short. The promise still stands. The promise still stands. And so what did Moses do? Moses trusted God, right? He trusted God for what he could not see, and he went to Pharaoh. He starts talking to Pharaoh, and he's the most powerful leader of the time, and he goes to him day after day, and he says to Pharaoh, the most powerful dude who could kill him because he killed other people for falling out of rank, he goes to him by faith, and he says, Pharaoh, God says to let his people go. He didn't do it. He goes back the next day, another time, right? God says to let my people go. And he goes to him day after day after day after day. And think about that faith. Like, he could have been killed. He could have been killed, but he does it. You know, Charles Stanley, I heard him speak this week, and one of the things that he said is a phrase that he always says. It's this phrase that, he says this, obey God and leave all the consequences to him. Obey God. In other words, trust God and leave all the consequences to him. And why is that? It's because God loves you. You can't see that picture, you know, that picture that God can see. God loves you, and you can trust him to lead you where he's wanting you to go. Obey God and leave all the consequences to him. Basically, trust God and let God work out the results. And so here's the thing. The problem is, after Moses obeyed God, he obeyed God. He went and told Pharaoh, let my people go. But Pharaoh said, no, no. And this is that moment for me again where the promise of God goes against the reality, right? It's like, this is the moment for me where it's like, I want to say, well, God, I trusted you. Like, I took the step you wanted me to take. Like we did that, right? I took the step you wanted me to take, but here we are, and all of a sudden, like, I expected a breakthrough. We did it. I expected it to work. I expected to see progress. And so Moses got frustrated. He starts begging God for answers. And here's what God told him in Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. He said, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now, you will see what I will do to Pharaoh because of my mighty hand,' God says. 'He will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country.'" Verse 6, it says, "Therefore, say to the Israelites," tell them this, "'I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment,' says God." He says, "I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you," what does he say, "to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." What's God saying here? God is basically saying to him this reminder, the promise still stands. The promise still stands. I haven't forgotten about it. Even when you can't see it, I'm going to do it. God's saying the promise still stands. Here's the thing. Don't let your obstacle, which is Pharaoh in that moment, keep you from walking forward and receiving the promise. In other words, go back and declare God's promise over your biggest obstacle. Go tell Pharaoh. Go tell Pharaoh God's promise over that obstacle in front of you. I want you to notice that God's promise wasn't just about getting new real estate, you know? It wasn't just about getting a new land, right? That sounded nice. It was actually about God doing something in their lives, redeeming them, freeing them, and choosing them to be his own. It was about them becoming God's people and God becoming their God. That's what God was wanting to do in their life. But sometimes in order to receive God's promise, we have to first be freed from something. Sometimes we have to first be freed from something. See, in order for them to receive the promise, they had to be freed from slavery. They did. They had to be freed from slavery. And so for us, sometimes we want God to lead us somewhere, and we're ready for it to happen, but we're not ready to receive it. Because we first have to be set free from something. Sometimes we have to be freed from something so that God can open our hand to actually receive God's blessing. And so let me ask you this. What do you need to be freed from so that you can walk forward into what God has promised you? What do you need to be freed from? That's a weird question to think about because we don't like to go there. I'm not bound by anything, right? What do you need to be freed from? What's holding you back? Maybe it's to have freedom from a sin in your life. Maybe it's to be set free from an area of your life where you haven't really trusted God. But maybe you need to be set free from something very different. Maybe it's being set free from a misaligned hope in the promise itself. Sometimes we have to be freed from the promise itself, from a misaligned hope in the promise. Let me explain it like this. See, sometimes we can want something so bad in our heart. You can want something so bad in your heart, a desire that even God put it there, that maybe we make that very desire an idol. We make that very desire a god for us. And so maybe God has to free you from your dependency or from your need to receive the promise, that thing that you want, so that he can teach you to depend on him. Maybe God needs to free you from that before God can actually give you what he actually promised. I hope that doesn't confuse you too much. See, sometimes you can turn the promise that God gave you. You can turn the promise, the blessing, whatever that God gave you, that, hey, this is going to happen. You can turn that into your God instead of worshiping the God who brought the promise in the first place. And so here's the thing. What do you need to be freed from so that you can walk forward into what God has promised you? Moses went, he obeyed God day after day after day after day, and every time Pharaoh resisted, it's like, no. And so what did God do? God turned up the temperature. with a mighty hand of God, he started turning up the pressure on Egypt, and he brought plagues, and he brought storms, and he brought all sorts of things to basically shake the fortitude, to shake the barrier that was in front of them, until one day Pharaoh finally said, okay, I'll release you. And he released the people of God, and they're cheering, and they're frolicking through the leaves, and they're saying, we're free. And then Pharaoh said, wait a minute, I made a big mistake. That was our labor. They were free, right? They were free labor, and now we set them free. Uh-oh, we got to fix this. And he sent 600 chariots after the Israelites. And they're like, you know, they're dancing and they're celebrating, and all of a sudden they're like, uh-oh, you know, this is bad, right? And the armies start chasing after them, and they get to a place where they find themselves between the army that was chasing them and the Red Sea that was in front of them, and there was no way to walk forward into the next step to receive the promise. And so what happened? Let's check out what happens, Exodus 14, verse 21. It says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it to dry land. He took the sea and he parted it into dry land. It says the waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry land with a wall of water. Just picture that. A wall of water on their right and a wall of water on the left. That would have been awesome, right? Like, you talk about, like, you know, you've seen big waves before. This is like, whew, everything parts. Wall of water. And they're walking forward in the promises of God again, right? Here's how it continues, skipping on to verse 30. It says, that day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. It says, and when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. See, here's the thing. When they couldn't see it, when they couldn't see a way, when they couldn't see how, God made a way. God made a way to fulfill his promise. And for you, maybe God has been giving you some kind of dream or a promise of something for your family, something for your finances, for your faith, for your future. Maybe God has been placing a calling on you, saying, I want to use you in some kind of way. And I don't know what barrier is in front of you of what God has promised to you. I don't know how long that you've been waiting, but I came here to tell you today that the promise still stands. The promise still stands. Here's the bottom line for today, and it's this. Don't let the obstacles in front of you keep you from trusting what God promised you. Don't let the obstacles in front of you keep you from trusting what God promised you, because with God, the promise still stands. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you so much for the way that you love us so much that you decide to lead us. You lead us beside the cool waters, and you lead us in a path of righteousness. You lead us in so many ways, but God, you also lead us through valleys. God, you also lead us through seasons and through barriers that maybe we can't see how it's going to happen on the other side. But God, I just thank you that while we're in the corn maze, while we're walking forward, turning left and right and following you step by step, I thank you, God, that you can see the entire vantage point. You can see the map of the whole picture of how it's going to turn out. And so, God, I just pray that you would help us, that if there's any obstacle in front of us, that you would help us to walk forward and to trust you, that you're going to make a way. God, I also pray that maybe there's something we need to be freed from today. Maybe there's something that's holding us back from actually receiving the promise that you've given us. God, I thank you that in the name of Jesus, that freedom is possible, that you break every chain. That's what you did on the cross when you gave your life for us, that you broke the chains of sin and death and destruction and hopelessness. You broke those chains and you laughed in death's face so that you could have the victory. And so, God, I thank you that we can trust you with our lives. Would you help us to trust you with our situations? And would you help us to walk forward into what you've promised us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.